Have you ever walked out of a movie theater feeling like you just lived someone else's life? That strange, disorienting sensation where reality feels less real than what you just witnessed on screen? This isn't just entertainment working its magic. It's something far more profound. Movies don't just occupy our leisure time. They colonize our imaginations, shaping how we understand ourselves and the world around us. For some of us, cinema becomes the language through which we interpret our own stories, the lens that brings our blurry experiences into focus. Alicia Malone's journey from movie-obsessed child in Australia to film historian in Hollywood reveals how deeply cinema can embed itself in our identity. Her story resonates because it's fundamentally about something universal, the search for ourselves in the stories we consume, and the complicated relationship between the images we're shown and the people we become. At age 3, the never-ending story taught Malone that stories held genuine emotional power. Watching Artax sink into the swamps of sadness left her traumatized and mesmerized. National Velvet sparked something different: aspiration. Elizabeth Taylor's Velvet Brown disguises herself as a male jockey to win the Grand National, and suddenly a young girl in Australia is begging for horse riding lessons. These narratives of determined girls, Margaret O'Brien in The Secret Garden, Junie Garland in The Wizard of Oz, taught lessons about courage more vivid than any lecture. Yet beneath these empowering stories lurked troubling realities. Garland endured exploitation, pep pills to maintain energy, multiple marriages, financial troubles, and emotional breakdowns, all standing in stark contrast to the hopeful narrative she portrayed. The movies that shaped us as children continue influencing our worldview long after we've outgrown them, operating as unconscious reference points we measure ourselves against. Adolescence brings a desperate search for models of who we might become. For those feeling different, movies provide these templates. Malone's fascination with Marilyn Monroe in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes exemplifies this, a young girl captivated by an exaggerated performance of femininity that seemed both aspirational and safely distant. The film delivers sharp commentary on gender economics. Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend acknowledges women's limited 1950s financial options with surprising frankness. Monroe's Lorelai Lee pursues millionaires not from greed, but survival instinct. What makes Monroe fascinating is the gap between persona and person. Behind the bombshell was Norma Jean Mortensen, who actively crafted her Marilyn character, sometimes referring to Marilyn in the third person. Monroe's films reveal how blonde hair functions as cinematic symbol, representing stereotypes from dumb blonde to ice goddess. Exploring other Hollywood transformed stars like Rita Hayworth and Judy Garland reveals identity itself as performance. For adolescents trying on different versions of themselves, this offers both inspiration and caution about reinvention's cost. Despite cinema's communal reputation, many passionate film lovers begin in isolation. Transforming a sports vice captain badge into film club president yields nobody. Enthusiasm for deep focus photography in Citizen Kane won't draw teenage crowds. This peculiar loneliness defines the young cinephile's experience. Classic cinema becomes both secret escape and source of outsider status. Films like Smooth Talk portray the awkward transition to womanhood. Joyce Carol Oates' adaptation shows Connie's terrifying encounter with predatory Arnold Friend, a man who knows everything about her and takes her for a drive from which she returns fundamentally changed, reflecting genuine perils of female vulnerability. Sexual education often arrives piecemeal from gossip and movie clues. Classic Hollywood films under the production code used visual metaphors. Fireworks in To Catch a Thief, crashing waves in From Here to Eternity, trains entering tunnels in North by Northwest. These coded references created a language of desire that viewers interpreted without guidance, learning intimacy through cinematic euphemism. Throughout film history, women have been positioned as objects rather than subjects of the gaze. As John Berger wrote, "Men look at women. Women watch themselves being looked at, creating a split identity where women constantly survey themselves as they imagine others see them." After successfully hosting a national broadcast, a producer told Malone she could have a real career in television if she just lost 10 kilograms. On YouTube, commenters called her simultaneously too pretty and too ugly, too loud and too quiet. Even when discussing gender inequality in directing, she was labeled an ugly feminist. Films like A Woman's Face explicitly tie women's exterior beauty to interior morality. When Joan Crawford's character undergoes plastic surgery to remove facial scarring, her criminal tendencies disappear alongside physical flaws. Hollywood has long dictated narrow beauty definitions, typically thin, symmetrically featured, smooth-skinned, young, able-bodied, and white. Because women rarely see natural female bodies in real life, we seek clues from media about what we should look like. Philosopher Heather Widows describes this as an ethical standard, where beauty success becomes moral virtue and beauty failure moral vice. Notably, the ideal female body often becomes more restrictive when women gain political power, keeping focus on appearance rather than political causes. Most Hepburn Tracy films followed a pattern: accomplished women ultimately humbled by grounded male characters. Tracy's ability to cut her down to size on screen revealed vulnerability that revived Hepburn's career after being labeled box office poison. Woman of the Year exemplifies this dynamic. Hepburn's Tess Harding is brilliant, but proves an inattentive wife. Her husband leaves, telling her, "America's outstanding woman of the year isn't a woman at all." Producers worried audiences wouldn't accept Tess simply attending a baseball game, so they added an ending where she struggles comically with kitchen appliances. "Worst bunch of shit I've ever read," Hepburn said, though she relented. This pattern persists in contemporary media. The message? Ambition and traditional femininity exist in tension, requiring choice or compromise. These narratives shape real women's career choices and self-perception. Ingrid Bergman's experience illustrates the consequences of defying convention. After her affair with Roberto Rossellini resulted in pregnancy, public outrage led to 8-year Hollywood exile and Senate denunciation. "No one but I can decide how I should live," she maintained, a principled stance that came at enormous professional cost. Los Angeles initially felt like one giant movie set, where yellow school buses and red fire hydrants seemed like props come to life. Years later, the glamour faded. Famous landmarks looked like bizarre facades ready to crumble. This disillusionment mirrors a broader journey, recognizing that internalized narratives don't align with reality. During the pandemic, cleared calendars created space for reflection. In newfound quiet, an inner voice spoke clearly. "You need to be in nature. Live somewhere beautiful, peaceful, and quiet." After driving 40-plus hours to a small East Coast town, certainty arrived within 3 days. The town's leisurely pace and genuine people helped shed city stress and rediscover identity beyond professional persona. Before turning 40, buying a first house as single woman, as paperwork boldly stated, and setting a new goal, own an old movie theater in a small town, represented not escape into fantasy, but connection to community. This journey toward authenticity requires stepping away from absorbed narratives, whether from films, social media, or cultural expectations, to discover what truly resonates. Cinema at its best helps us process emotions and imagine new possibilities, functioning as both mirror and window. This awareness doesn't diminish cinema's magic, but enriches it, allowing more conscious engagement with the stories surrounding us.